sing that hymn for the last stanza. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound. The Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. And so we're looking forward yet to a glorious day for the believer. Paul says it also. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's often difficult, though, when you're going through the trials today, to keep in mind that God has promised you a great tomorrow. And yet, those are some of the great promises from the Word of God. Well, this morning, we want to look, if we can, at the topic or the thought. We're gonna look at examples of Jesus dealing with life issues. And there are many social issues that divide America. We talked about one of them just a little bit ago. There are family issues, relationship issues. There are employment problems. There are personality conflicts. There are financial hardships. And we are living in a day when there are addictions that seem impossible to break. So there are times when I would like to know, Jesus, what would you do? What would you do if you were walking on this earth today? There is a verse that we'd like to think about. 1 Peter, we've been in 1 Peter quite a bit. It basically goes like this. If you suffer for doing good, this is commendable to God. For, because Christ, to this you were called, be one to suffer. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And so this morning, with that in mind, I just want, Jesus, you're to be my example. You're to be my example in how I handle the difficulties of life. And once again, the question, Lord, what would you do if you were walking on this earth today? Now, once again, the world that Jesus walked on in the first century was no perfect place. There certainly was political problems in that day. Rome was in charge of their lives. There was poverty. There was immorality. There was idolatry. All kinds of things taking place. But when it comes to it, we want to think about what did Jesus do? When Jesus did anything involved with people or things, he was always concerned that he did it to bring glory and honor to the one who had sent him. As I read the New Testament, that phrase keeps coming over and over again. Jesus says, I did not come down from heaven to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Okay? For the will of the one who sent me is anyone who looks to the Son and believes in him has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. But Jesus often says, I am doing it because of the one who sent me. Okay? And I really believe the disciples, they had 3.5 years, we think, of walking with Jesus. And one of the things that they were to get a hold of more than anything else is that we believe you are the Christ. We believe you are the one who has been sent from the Father. And I believe that is what was going to help sustain the disciples. When they faced all kinds of adversity in the future, they could always rest on the fact Jesus is the Christ. He is the one who was sent from the Father. We have placed our faith in him. Jesus once asked his disciples, Boy, he really gave people a lot to think about when he started to tell them, this is my flesh. This is my blood. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And boy, the Jews just really struggled with that one. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? After hearing this, many of his disciples, many of the people that followed Jesus, turned and no longer followed him. Jesus goes up to the 12. You don't want to leave me too, do you? Peter replied, to whom should we go? You have the words of life. You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are from God. Okay? So, once again, Jesus did things to bring glory and honor to the one who had sent him. It's interesting, as I read the Bible, Jesus never went out of his way to look for issues. Seems like the issues always made their way to him. There was the people who were trying to trap Jesus. So they asked him the question one day, should we pay Caesar taxes or not? And boy, they could have had him either way. If they say, no, you should never pay Caesar taxes, they had him for, treason, If they say, no, we should pay Caesar taxes, then they had him for going along with the Roman government. He says, show me a coin. Whose image is on it? Caesar's. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar and that which is God's unto God. So, Jesus had just a wisdom about him. Jesus often used scripture to support his actions. His remedy, and I would say this is your remedy too, his remedy involved knowing God's word and putting it into practice. Knowing who Jesus is, and even what he says, is no guarantee that we will always try his ways. There's a verse in the Bible, many of you have memorized this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, or he will direct your paths. Okay? But many times that middle section gets us all in trouble. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And many times I fall down right there, and you probably fall down there, as we start to look for another solution than what this word might have for us. We should be careful about dismissing Jesus' methods because we don't think they operate in this world of ours. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when he tells us to do some things that seem so contrary to us, here's the thing that Romans chapter 12. You want a good chapter of Bible to read and sort of put to your life? Romans chapter 12 is one of those excellent chapters. Okay? But in that chapter, it says this. Bless those who persecute you. You ready to jump on that bandwagon? Most of us aren't. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Here's another one. Do not repay evil for evil. Now, what's the tendency in our lives? We like to get even. We like to get even. I've shared with you before. There was five boys and a girl in our family. All us boys slept upstairs. And, it was almost the statement was, you got to sleep sometime. And we could get even, But do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Now, once again, my son and I, we go around and around on this a little bit. Because he says, man, I've tried that before, and I always get burnt. Not his choice of words up there. I always get burnt. And you're trying to say, but God's word says, it says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. So on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, a person can have a clear promises from God's word and still get off track. I think of Abraham. Think of Abraham. Abraham in the Old Testament was close to God. God was dealing with this man on a very, very close personal level. He told this man, I will give you a family as large as the stars in the sky, as large as the sand on the seashore. I will make you a blessing to all nations. And Abraham basically says, okay, I hear you, Lord, but we have one problem. I don't have any kids. How can I have a big family if I don't have any kids? And so Abraham hears those promises from God. I think he has a heart's desire to say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting, but I'm getting older, and nothing's happening. And I think that's our problem in life. Lord, I want to trust those promises, but nothing's happening the way I want it to happen. And that might be the problem with all of us, the way I want it to happen. Because who's supposed to be in charge? God is. Okay? So Abraham says, hey Lord, hey God, there's a thing they usually do in this country of ours. If we don't have an heir, I can assign my servant to be heir. And God says, that's not the way. Well, once again, we're waiting. All of a sudden, Sarai, his wife, says, Abram, and I always wonder if God gave Sarah the promises too. Because Sarah seems to say, Abraham, I know God gave you those promises, but nothing's working out. Here's my Egyptian handmaid. Go have a baby with her. And so Abraham does that. And we know that Ishmael is born. But God says, that's not what I want to happen. So once again, we can hear the promises of God. It's going to work out for you, Abraham. You're going to have a large family. But when it doesn't happen, we start to say, Lord, what are you doing and when are you going to do it? So once again, let's challenge ourselves the way of the Lord. Our Lord, when he is involved in things, whatever he does, he wants to do them for the glory of God. That is the same challenge that you and I are to get. Colossians 3:17 says it this way. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay? Now, normally we do not think that way. So once again, we're going to ask this question. Lord, what would you do if you were in my situation? Okay. Now, I don't know what's going on in your lives today, what situation you're going through. There's a few family things going on the cutty front here. Okay. Some of you, there's the financial things, maybe a job. Some of you have the health things going on. We all seem to have our situation. So this morning, let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and we're going to see a guy with a certain situation going on in his life and see if we can see what the Lord did for him and what the Lord might do for us as well. So John chapter 5, verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Now once again, here's the difference between the NIV and the King James Version. The King James Version says this. The paralyzed people were there, and they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had. Once again, the NIV does not have that section, but there's another reason I think it might want to be there, and that's we're looking at verse 7 here. But here's a man we find here. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Well, let's start first of all. Lord, what would you do if you were in my situation? I believe Jesus might start by learning what your situation is. What is your situation? What's your story? And I think sometimes we always need to remind of us, each one of us has a story. Each one of us have things going on in our lives. And we're wondering, Lord, how are you going to, what would you do, Lord, if you were in my situation? Okay? I think, first of all, the Lord would want you to tell him your story. Lord, this is what's going on in my life. Now, there's something good about that. There's something good about getting your story out in front of you. Just being willing to say, do this in prayer, son, Lord, this is what's going on in my life, and I just want to let you know. Now, once again, God's all-knowing because he already knows. But there's something about being willing to just say, Lord, this is what we're going through, and just lay that into the lap of the Lord. I encourage you to do that. I think it is beneficial to you, okay? He would start by learning about your situation. What's your story? He would show that he cared for what's going on in your life. He tells people over in Hebrews chapter 13, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoner, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Our Lord knows how to put himself into your shoes, and he knows what you are going through. He cares. The invalid man at the pool. Number one, Jesus did not avoid people with difficulties. He's ready to deal with someone who has a difficulty. Jesus did not just give a quick blessing. You sort of wonder about that back in the book of James. I think it's James chapter 2. What good is it, my brother, if a brother or sister comes and one of you says, go, I wish you well, be warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs? What good is it? Well, Jesus doesn't just give you a platitude. Go, I wish you well. Yeah, good luck with your story. No. Our Lord wants to become involved in your story. Jesus learns the man's situation. And once again, I say this, sometimes we need to get the situation out in front of us. This is what I'm dealing with. This is my story, Lord. Sometimes we need to ask the hard questions, and we don't like the Lord to ask us hard questions. The hard question that might be coming to us would be this. Are you in your situation because of poor choices? There are certain things I could have probably done a lot better as a dad. Certainly try my best. I've tried to make good choices. Tried. All right. I think at times my wife and I have had a good life because of the choices we've made. Okay? So sometimes we might have to answer, yes, this situation has come because of the choices I've made. I made some poor choices in my life. But that isn't always the case in the Word of God. If you go to chapter 9 in John, there's a man who was born blind. Born blind. And there's no, you know, this is no, it's not because his parents sinned. No, it's for the glory of God. So sometimes things happen in our lives and they're not because of poor choices we made. They just happened in our lives. But even when you have made poor choices, Christ can be our deliverer. But that will usually involve making some good choices from here on out. Okay. Do you want to get better? This is always an interesting statement to me. When, verse 6 again, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? And you'd like to think, Lord, that's a no-brainer. But the question would ask, if you want to get well, there's some choices you probably need to be making. Do you want to change? What are your hopes? That's obvious, Lord. I don't want to be an invalid anymore. And sometimes I think the Lord might ask us this question. Are you sick of your situation? Are you sick of your situation? Are you ready to do something about it? Now, once again, this is the dumbest illustration you can ever give. Because you know, you guys know, I've tried to get rid of this muscle for a long time and it just doesn't want to leave. Okay? But you know, there's times in my life when I start to say, I've got to do something. If I keep on doing this, it's not going to help me down the road. I need to lose some weight. And there's times it almost comes, Cuddy, are you sick of your situation? When are you going to do something about it? And sometimes we are in other situations. And we probably would have, Lord, I want change in my life. Am I sick of what's going on in my life? Do I want change? And I'm grateful that our Lord is willing to give us. Have you given up hope? Do you realize that most of us are like the invalid here? Most of us have a reason why we are what we are. Notice what the wise man says here. I mean, the invalid says here, Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. So, once again, the NIV took that little phrase out of the King James, but somehow this guy says, hey, there's something about this water being stirred. So that's why I wanted to read that section there about the angels stirring the water. When the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Most of us have a reason why we are what we are. But you know what? Jesus will listen to your story. And I'm grateful for that. Jesus will listen to your story. Jesus may question your resolve to change. Do you want to get well? And then I believe Jesus probably is listening to your reasoning, maybe your excuses. But then Jesus gives you some things you need to do. Now, once again, we're talking about a man who's invalid. We're talking to a man who can't move very well. 38 years. We're not told whether he was born that way. We're not told that. There's an indication maybe he wasn't. Maybe he has become an invalid because of something. But for 30 some years, he's been an invalid. Guess what? After a while, bones don't want to move. Legs don't want to move. You are one sore puppy when you try to do that. Okay? But notice what Jesus says to him. Jesus gives you things you need to do. Then Jesus said to him, get up. Get up. Picture in your mind the struggle that that man probably had of even getting up. You know, there's a bad thing about old people falling down. It's hard to get up. You know, it's nice to have something to, you know, help you with. Get up. Let me change this for you a little bit. Change your position. Change your position. Change your perspective. You've been laying down all this time. Get up. Number two, pick up your mat. Pick up your mat. And I like to call it this way. Number one is change your position. Number two is take hold of your possession. Take hold of your possession. And as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have a lot of things that are ours because of Christ. And there are some great and precious promises that we need to take hold of. Pick up your mat. Take hold of your possession. And then the third step, walk. And I don't know about you. I could have been that invalid. Lord, I haven't done this for 37 years. What do you mean? Walk. And yet, in your life, is there a step of faith towards the promises of God out of what God has told you that said, okay, Lord, you know my situation. I've told you my story. And now you're telling me three things. You're telling me to get up. You're telling me to take hold of my possessions. And then you're telling me to proceed. To take some steps of faith. To trust your promises again. To claim once again what you've told me. This is an act of faith on your part. This is also the work of God taking place in your life. Notice what it says. It says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Jesus oftentimes was careful in what he did. He knew people were out to trap him. But he also is in the business of delivering people from their bondage. When that happens, people are going to be noticeably different to others. Can you just imagine? Once the invalid got up with his mat in his arms and he started to walk, and all of a sudden he was healed. Somehow, I can assume that this guy went berserkal. You know? Wow! Look at me! And all of a sudden, there was a lot of Pharisees that said, oh, what's he doing? He's carrying a man on the Sabbath day. Wrong, buddy! We're not rejoicing with you because you've been down for 37 years. We're mad at you because you're carrying a man on today. And sometimes we can get things so wrong, and we need to rejoice with those that God delivers out of bondage. And may we do that. And maybe we could just say, I'm just doing what he told me to do. I'm just doing what he told me to do. It's good to get to know who healed you. Let me keep on reading down here. So they ask him, who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk? The man who was healed, I had no idea who he was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. That gives me the idea that maybe he became an invalid because of, quote, quote, poor choices. I don't know. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Lord, help us this day as we help us to know that you want to hear our story. Lord, we don't always do things right. We don't. There are some poor choices we've made in life, and sometimes we've been impacted by our poor choices. But Lord, there's also a lot of good choices you want us to do. You want us to get up. You want us to take hold of our possessions. You want us to proceed. And you want us to know you. And we pray, Lord, this morning that we might realize that you're still in the business of helping us in our situation. We pray this in your name. Amen.